Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
I want you to think of this morning of something new. Maybe that you purchased, you bought, it was a gift, a new car, a new gun. For the ladies, maybe a new pair of shoes, all right? Maybe it was a gift that someone gave you, like new clothes, or for kids, a new toy, or the latest Call of Duty, a new video game. Maybe it was a position that you've been working for, like a promotion at a job, or you finally got that starting position in varsity sports, but something that was new for you. Maybe it was something you've really been working hard at, like saving money to buy a house, or maybe saving money to go back to school to get an education so you can get a new job. But just think of something new, and how does that make you feel this morning? Help me, preacher. How does something new make you feel? Good, very good, special, great. It's positive vibes, positive feelings that we have. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to communicate to the Ephesians as he talks to them that you have a new life in Christ. We are in our series on Ephesians, and this is the second to the last week. The next time we talk, we're going to be wrapping up Ephesians. But Paul is talking about how we have a superior life. The Ephesians were a people that lived in a very secular, difficult society. Paul talks about, I had a great open door for ministry as he stayed there over 2 years, but there was also great adversity. And as the Ephesians are facing this great adversity now, Paul's reminding them that you have a superior life in Christ. Don't go back to your old life, your former life. You have a new life that is far superior. I want to welcome everyone today. It's great having you. Great to see you all, especially those of you who are new with us here at Radius. And our prayer for you as we talk about the new life today, that you experience new hope, new freedom, new life in Jesus, a new joy, a new purpose and meaning, because really, life is only worth living when you have Christ. Christ gives us a superior life. I want to welcome those who are joining us online and pray that you experience all the newness of life that Christ wants to give you. Thanks for being with us today. You can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, and the title of today's message is, We Walk in Newness. We walk in newness. Now, if you want to take out your worship notes, they're in the Radius Church app, or they're also on the inside of your worship program this morning. There's two main characteristics about something that's new. The first one there is that it improves your life. It makes your life better. Something new improves your life. It makes it better. After all, if it made your life worse, why in the world would you get it? That doesn't make sense. My wife and I, we recently got a new internet provider, okay? We don't game. We don't really stream a lot. We do stream some things, but we don't have streaming services. And so we had just the cheapest internet we could get at 30 megabytes. Ooh, pretty slow, all right? Well, our internet company, we replaced it, and we got a new one, 600 megabytes. And I tell you, the difference is awesome because before we'd stream a movie or a TV show or something like that, we would get what I call the swirling circle of sanctification. You know what it is? It just goes around you going, would you please load? Hurry up. Come on. You know, and it's really bad. I remember my son, when he was in the house, he hated our internet for gaming. It's like, would you stop glitching? I'm getting killed. You know, he hated it. But this new internet, we've lost the circle of sanctification, so God has to sanctify us in other ways now. But now our internet's so much faster, from 30 to 600. It's awesome. So when you get something new, it improves your life. But secondly, the second characteristic about something new is that it replaces something old. To enjoy the benefit of the new thing, you have to get rid of the old thing. for us, the internet. We got rid of the old, but you know the reason we did? Because our internet company, they said, we're dropping your plan and we're going to up your price almost double so you can get, catch this, 50 megabytes. From 30 to 50. I started calling around, and for like $2 more, I could get 600 megabytes. Now, I don't know about you, but $2 for 550 megabyte faster speed, that's a no-brainer to me. I dropped our company. We replaced them. They're no longer in the house. We went with somebody new. It improved us, but you had to get rid of the old. And there's sometimes we get rid of old things, but we still hang on to them. Like that sofa that was in the living room, we just move it down to the family room. But here's the thing. When it comes to a new life in Christ, God doesn't want us to hang on to some of the old. He wants us to chuck the old like a pair of shoes that has a big hole in the bottom. Get rid of it. Throw it away. It's no good. And Paul's going to talk about you need to put away the old life and replace it with the new life. We're going to start reading in Ephesians 4:17. Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Paul talks about, he uses the word walk, and we mentioned this in previous messages. He talks about walk because our walk is something that's ordinary, something that we do it without even thinking about it. And so he's saying, the way you walk, the way you carry yourself, don't walk the way the Gentiles who are away from Christ, that don't have Jesus in their life, don't walk the way they used to live. And how is that? He is going to explain six things, a half a dozen things, the way that they used to walk. And the first one is found in the end of verse 17. He says it's in the futility of their mind. So the first characteristic of the old life before you and I came to Jesus in your notes this morning is futile. It was a futile life. It was meaningless. It was empty. Mick Jagger sang the song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." And that's because he was living a life without Jesus. Solomon, the wisest man, richest man, a guy who had everything, he recognized what a life was like when it's not centered on God. He wrote about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1, when he said, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. All is meaningless. All is vain." He says, you can have all the riches in the world, all the pleasure, all the promotions, anything you want, all this world has to offer. But if your life is not grounded and centered on God, it is futile. And Paul reaffirms that when he says, they walked in the futility of their minds. You see, you can only find fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And people turn to a lot of different things, looking for satisfaction, looking for hope, looking for meaning and purpose, but only life in Christ provides meaning and purpose and significance. So a life, the old life is futile. The old life, number two, is found in verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. The second one there is their understanding is darkened. What do you feel like? Have you ever tried to study something and you did not understand it? I took chemistry in high school. My chemistry teacher, he taught over the head. So many times I didn't understand. I would take a test and think I did a great job, and I would get a D. And it's like, I don't get this. There's other times I thought, I knew nothing. I'm just guessing. I'm just kind of like, oh, that's a nice pattern. That's probably right on the multiple choice. I'd pull off a B plus, an A minus. I'm going, I have no idea how I did that. You know, and when it was so confusing when you don't understand something, it's frustrating. And he says, in your old life before Christ, things don't make sense. There's a lot of confusion. And we see people today, there's a lot of confusion in their life. They don't understand. They're frustrated. And that's what happens when you don't follow Jesus. The third thing he says, you are cut off from spiritual life. You're alienated from God. You have absolutely no opportunity to have a relationship with God. You're on the outside. Number four, he says, you're ignorant. You have no knowledge, no information about God and how to know God. Number five, he says, they're blind in their heart. Now, most of us here this morning and watching online, we have our physical eyesight. We can see. And this talks about a blindness in the heart, where your heart doesn't see where it's going. It doesn't know where it's at. Have you ever taken a tour in a cave? How many have ever been in a cave and they turn the lights out on you and it gets pitch dark? How many have been there before? And they say, put your hand in front of your face, and you do it, and you can't see a thing. I want you to imagine, what would it be like if someone left you abandoned in a cave, no light, and said, find your way out? It would be scary. It would be frustrating. You might knock your head against a few things. You might stumble and fall over one of the rocks that you don't see. It's dangerous. And Paul says, people without Christ, they're blind in their heart. They can't see. There's this danger. There's this foreboding. And it's scary when you don't have Christ at the center of your life. And then the last thing he talks about, he says, they're being past feeling, they're callous, they're numb. They're insensitive to the pain of conviction of the Holy Spirit. And when you reject God's advances towards you long enough, it eventually leads to you getting a hard heart, becoming callous. And that's why we as believers, we need to be praying for those who are lost. Because it talks about in the Bible how there is a veil over their eyes. They can't see. They don't realize the truth. That's why in Jeremiah chapter 23, 29, it talks about the word of God as like a hammer because it breaks the hardness of our heart. And we need to pray that the word of God breaks the hardness, the calluses that are on their heart, and that they come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and receive Christ, because the new life in Christ is what matters. And there may be some of you here today that you don't have a relationship with God. You're here in the house or you're watching online and you feel lost. You feel empty. You feel futile. Life is blind. You don't know where to go. You're searching for meaning, but you don't know what to do. I prayed for you this morning that God would break any hardness in your heart, any resistance to receiving Jesus. Because here's the thing, God loves you. He doesn't want you to be cut off from life. He wants a life with you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. You're going to see that word walk many times in the passages that we look at today. God wants to walk with you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins so that you can have an abundant life, a new life, a superior life that replaces your old life. And I want to give you an opportunity. I had planned to do this at the end of the message, but I just feel like right now is the time. I want everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes here in the house and those who are watching online. Is God speaking to you this morning about your need for him? You realize that you are alienated from God. You don't have a relationship with him, that you are a sinner, that Jesus died for your sin, and you need to surrender your life to Christ so you can have a new life in Jesus. It's making Jesus the Lord, the leader, and saying, God, I'm not going to follow what I want. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk with you, not away from you. And if that's you this morning, you'd say, I want Jesus to forgive me and become the leader of my life. I want new life. I need the Holy Spirit to change me, to set me free, to give me a new hope, a new freedom. If that's you, I'd like you to raise your hand, no one looking around. Thank you. I see that hand there in the back. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. On the side, thank you. Anyone else this morning? You'd say, that's me, Craig. I want Jesus to forgive me. I want this new life. Anyone else here today? Those who are watching online, if God's speaking to your heart, I'd like you just to raise your hand wherever you're at. Anyone else here in the house? Thank you. I see that hand there in the back. Anyone else this morning? I'm going to say this prayer, and I would like everyone here to repeat this prayer together, no one praying alone. Lord Jesus, I know you died to take away my sin and give me a new life. Please forgive me. My sin put you on the cross. I surrender my life. I want you to lead me. I want to live for you and walk in your hope, walk in your light, walk in your love, and walk in your wisdom. Help me to follow you. Amen. Amen. Hey, can we just pause and celebrate this morning? It says there's rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent and come home to Christ. Amen. Let's just thank the Lord for that. I encourage you, if you said that prayer, I'd like it. There's a card in front of you. And before you leave today, take that card, fill that card out, and halfway down there's a box that says, I received Christ today. Check that off. Take it to the welcome booth because we've got a gift for you that's going to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. It's going to help you show how do you walk with God now? How do you develop this friendship? And we want to give that to you. It's free so that you can begin to grow and develop that relationship with Jesus. Amen. Man, it's already been a great day. Woo! I'm excited for those who have entered new life. And this is the new life that Paul is explaining. He says, this is why it's so superior. Let's pick it up in verse 20, Ephesians chapter 4. He says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Notice that we come to new life in Christ as we learn about him. Some of you today, you learned about Christ, what he wants to do for you. You learned about the old life. All of us who become saved, somebody taught us. We learned that we needed Jesus. But there's a learning that continues even after we receive Christ. And that's why our mission is not just to help all people find Jesus, but it's to help all people find and follow Jesus. We need to actively make disciples. We teach them. All of us are leaders. All of us need to influence other people so they can walk with God, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. And as we do that, they grow. And as we teach, the Holy Spirit teaches them. The Holy Spirit can teach you as you yourself get into God's Word and you read and study for yourself. The Holy Spirit will teach you things. He'll convict you of sin that you need to confess to God. He'll convict you of good things that you need to start doing. He'll begin to show you people that he wants you to influence, maybe to call or contact or begin to pray for, to begin to help them so that they can find and follow Jesus. There are things that God wants to teach us, and we learn. And that's why it's so important to be part of a community of Christ, a regular church, because it's in the context of community, iron sharpens iron, and we help each other to learn and grow. Paul goes on to say in verse 22, he says, we've learned, as we learn about Christ, and he says, this is what you've learned, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. When you and I become Christians, you know what happens to our fallen sinful nature? I wish it was eradicated. I wish God just yanked it out and says, it's no longer there and you live a perfect life. That happens when we get to heaven. We are given a new life in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And so now the old man is dead. We are dead to sin and alive to God. We have the potential, the power to be dead to sin. But Paul says you've got to put off the old man. And you've got to put on the new man. It's like a suit of clothes. I mean, think of it. Just say you were out walking, hiking up on Casper Mountain, and you crossed over a stream, and you slipped and you fell and you got muddy and wet and dirty, and you tore your clothes, and you're a filthy mess. You go back home, but you stay in that dirty, messy, filthy outfit, and you walk all around in that, and you're just fine with it. How many would stay in that condition? I don't think there's a single one of us. What are we going to do? We're going to take off that old outfit that's filthy, dirty, torn, wrecked, ruined, and we're going to shower up. We're going to put on a nice, fresh, clean set of clothing, nice pants and shirt, and it feels so good to be clean. And yet there are times that we as believers, we stop putting off the old man and not put on the new man. You see, it's not once and done. It's not, I said a prayer, and now I go on, and I am perfect. No, there is a continual process of renewing the mind. In your notes this morning, it is possible to be a Christian, but not walk in newness if we do not put off the old man and put on the new man by renewing our minds. We need a constant renewal. And Paul wrote this to several of the churches that he was discipling, that he had been to and planted churches, as he's trying to help them find and follow Jesus. He says, you need to renew your minds. He said to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 2, and Pastor Zach alluded to this verse last week, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. 1 Corinthians 2:16, Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. Before I became a Christian, I never had the mind of Christ. I wasn't thinking what Jesus wanted. I was thinking about myself, how to please myself. What do I want? And when you and I receive Christ, we need to put on a new mind, put on the new man. It is an active thing. And you know what? For me, I have to do it not just daily, but continually throughout the day. You say, but Craig, you're a pastor. Yeah, that doesn't matter. My old sinful nature is there, and I have to die daily, pick up my cross and follow Christ. I walk in a renewed mind constantly. And this is what Paul is going to say, and he's going to begin to share some things. He says, this is, you need to look at your life, and as he gives the Ephesians kind of a checklist of things, saying, hey, see if there's any old ways you're walking in. He's first going to mention some old things you're doing, and then he's going to say, replace it with this new life, with this new way of living. You used to live this way. You used to have 30 megabytes. God's giving you 600 megabytes. Get rid of the old, put on the new. All right? So let's take a look at what we do. We have a new behavior. A new life should lead to a new behavior. And Paul says in Ephesians 4:25, therefore, that sets up. Therefore, because you have this new life, this is what you need to do. Verse 25, therefore put away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Number one thing there, replace lying with truth-telling. Replace lying with truth-telling. Lying is part of the old life. Why do we lie? What are some reasons we lie? To spare feelings. We don't want to hurt someone's feelings. To protect ourselves. I stayed up to 3 o'clock watching the election, so then I got up late and I was late for work. I had car trouble. And we lie so we don't look bad. Sometimes we lie to gain an advantage. I hate to say this, but I in college in intramural basketball, we went up for a rebound, and my best friend was behind me, and he outjumped me, and when I came down, I faked like I got fouled to gain an, I lied to gain an advantage, and it worked. Yeah, isn't that horrible? But we do that sometimes. We lie to gain an advantage to help us out. There are some people, they lie in business dealings so that they can benefit financially, but it hurts someone else. Paul said, replace lying with truth-telling. It's wrong. Lying is the old life. And as we go through this, if God speaks to you about any one of these things we're talking about, I just want you to put a check mark by it or circle it. Or maybe God brings something to mind I haven't said. Write it down, because that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, there's a superior life, a new life. You want to get rid of the old and put on the new. So if God's speaking to you about honesty in some way, mark that down. The second thing Paul says, he says, replace unrighteous anger with righteous anger. Verse 26 and 27, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. This is actually a quote, the first part, be angry and do not sin. That's a quote from Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. Do you realize it's not a sin to get angry? Because he said, be angry and sin not. It's okay to get angry. The thing is, what do you do with your anger? You see, anger is like the dashboard on your car. And when the light goes off, something's wrong. It's an indicator that somebody has wronged you, or maybe you're receiving something wrong and there's something wrong inside and you need to check yourself. It is not a sin to get angry, but what you and I do with our anger can be sin. Anger, the same word for anger here is used of God in Matthew 3:7, Romans 1:18, and of Jesus in Mark 3:5. So anger is not necessarily wrong, but it's what we do with it. But this is what I see so many people. Something happens, somebody wrongs them, they get angry, and they don't deal with it. Paul says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. We need to resolve issues, resolve conflict. See this a lot in homes. Parents and kids or siblings or spouses. Sometimes you see it in the church world. Someone does something to someone, and instead of going and talking about it, they just get ticked off and they leave. Sometimes people gossip to someone about someone, and they're like, I can't believe they did that. And they'll leave the church over it. If you've got an issue with someone, Matthew 18 says, go to them one-on-one. Try to work it out. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. There are many couples, their marriages end in divorce because something happened months or years ago and they never talked about it, and it just snowballed and it grew and they broke up because they wouldn't take care of their anger. Don't let anger reign unrighteously. Use righteous anger. Number three, replace stealing with honest hard work. Verse 28 of chapter 4, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. When you and I steal, we're taking away from someone. God says do honest hard work and work in a way, save so that you can help other people in need. That's the new life. Jesus was a giver. He gave everything. God's calling us to be givers, to be honest. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Number four, replace corrupt talk with wholesome talk. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do your words build people up, or do they tear them down? When our kids were little, we had this video, and they would watch this video, and there, it was a scripture song. So you memorize scripture. And the song was, encourage one another and build each other up, build each other up, build each other. That's the song. And there was times when I would hear our kids yelling and fighting and tearing each other apart. It's like, hey, encourage one another and build each other up. You know what's really bad? Is when your kids say that back to you. It goes both ways. We set the tone. Is your speech wholesome? Does it edify? Or are you negative, grumpy, critical, complaining, negative? That's the old life. Replace it with a new tongue. Number 5 in your notes, replace bitterness and rage with kindness and forgiveness. Verse 30 to 32, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you realize when our lives are reverting back to this old behavior, it makes the Holy Spirit sad? It makes him sad. He says, the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, let all bitterness, all wrath, that's violent external outbursts, or anger, this settled feeling of anger that you hide and you just carry within you, clamor, shouting and yelling at people, telling them off, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Is there anyone you need to forgive in your life? Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven of your sin. Do you see any of these old habit patterns wanting to come back that you need to replace? Holy Spirit may be speaking to you about something. Paul then, he's going to talk about this new life means I've got a new model to follow. I need to imitate God. In chapter 5, verse 1, he says this, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Have you ever noticed how little kids mimic their parents? They put on the big shoes and they walk around. Dad's working with something with tools and the little kid picks up tools. A couple of weeks ago, my son got married. We had all our family back and I got to have our grandsons with us. And this is the youngest, Trey. I had a hat on. I took it off because we were having church. On Sunday morning, we had church as our family, and he put on my hat, imitated. He saw what I did, and that's what little kids do. They mimic their parents, and Paul says, imitate God as dear children. He's your father. He's your model. Love the way he loves. Live the way he lives. Treat others the way that he treats others. How do we imitate God? By the way we walk. There's 3 ways. We walk in love, we walk in light, and we walk in wisdom. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes on each one, and then we're going to wrap this up and say, God, I want you to show me if I need to replace anything in my life, part of the old walk that used to be part of my life, with a new walk. Walking in love, verse 2, walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Friends, love is not selfish. It looks out for the best interests of other people. And that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus said, Father, if I don't have to go to the cross, if I don't have to be separated from you, if I don't have to go through this pain, I don't want to do it. Let me get out of this, but not my will, but yours be done. Jesus saw what was best for us, and he laid aside his will to say, God, I want to do your will and do what's pleasing to you. Love, in your notes this morning, love focuses on pleasing God and looking out for other people's interests. Love focuses on pleasing God and looking out for other people's interests. And then Paul's going to talk about, here's some ways that we love people. If we do these things, we don't. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Fornication and uncleanness is generic for any kind of sexual sin. You see, sexual sin, when we engage in sex outside of marriage, God designed sex for marriage. Sex is good. It's not dirty. It's honorable. And he says, don't let the marriage bed be defiled in Hebrews. Sex is good. But when sex is taken outside of marriage, it hurts people. It's to fulfill our own lusts, our own gratification, our own desires, our own needs. I remember when I was a youth pastor, I told the kids in my youth group, I said, girls, guys give affection, because girls, that's one of their main needs. They like affection. Guys give affection to get sex. And a lot of times, girls give sex to get affection. And when you do that, it's empty. It's meaningless. Young people, singles, I encourage you to walk in purity. And here's the thing. You need to protect yourself. When my wife and I, when we started dating, we're going to be sexually pure. Yep, we're not going to have sex before marriage. And we didn't. But you know what? No one told us how much kissing stirs things up. It arouses things for you to want to go further. And it's like we started kissing way too early in our relationship. It made it really difficult. So for those of you who are young, when you start dating someone, really, you don't need to date until you're ready for a mate. When you're ready to settle down. Because why else do you need someone to date? But our society tells you if you don't have someone, you're a nobody. And so young people, don't get caught up in the trap, in the pattern of the world that the rest of the world does. Safeguard yourself. Because sexual immorality leads to a lot of pain and a lot of regret. And you'll wish that you would have waited. God has a man or a woman for you. Wait for marriage. All right? Let's go on. He talked about covetousness or greed. When we're greedy, we look out for ourselves, whether it's grabbing that biggest piece of pizza for ourselves or whether it is cheating others financially so that we can get ahead. Greed hurts other people's. It's not loving. Paul talks about in verse 4 about speech that's not pleasing to God. He talks about verse 4, neither filthiness, that's obscenity, swearing and cursing, nor foolish talking. That is like godless talk where we talk about things that are not spiritual. Now, I'm not saying that you have to just talk about heavenly things, spiritual things all the time. But there's a lot of times our conversation, we can just be so carnal and focus on the values and the priorities of this world that it leads to an ungodly mindset. It's like feeds us. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What do you talk about most of the time? How much of the time is your mouth filled with praise and with rejoicing and thanksgiving to God, which Paul's going to talk about here in just a moment of what we need to do in the new life? Or is your life more focused on earthly values, earthly priorities, physical things, pleasure, comfort, and prosperity? Set your minds on things above, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It goes on to say coarse jesting, and that refers to jokes with sexual innuendo or that insult other people. And he says, these are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. If we have a heart that's grateful to God out of the abundance of the heart, we'll give thanks to God. So that is walking in love, pleasing God and looking out for others. Number two, Paul says, walk in light. I'm going to read verses 8 to 14. He says, you were once in darkness, but now you are light. Look at your neighbor and say, you are light. What does light do? Shines in the darkness. You and I are to shine. If we're out in the world and the world can't tell any difference between the way I talk and the way I act and the non-Christian, the non-follower of Jesus, then I'm not walking in light. He says, you are light, walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I want you to realize this. Your sin will find you out. You cannot get away with sin. At some point in time, your sin will be revealed. God will shine his light on it. It's better for you to expose the sin in your life when the Holy Spirit convicts you of it and say, God, I'm a forgiver. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Yeah, we should be forgivers and not be bitter, okay? But it's better for us to say, God, I'm a sinner, than to just cover my sin, because those who cover their sin will not prosper and it will be exposed. Walk in light, expose the sin in your life. And if you see a brother or sister who is sinning, if you turn them from their ways, you will save their soul. It talks about in Jeremiah, when you see a brother who's sinning and you don't warn them, their blood is on your hands. As believers in Christ, we want to help each other to live accountable lives, to walk in love, to walk in light, to walk in wisdom. So expose the sin in your life, confess it to God, and help other people. Warn them when you see them sinning. And then number three, walk in wisdom, verses 15 to 18. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Friends, when we walk in newness, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and he's going to prompt us and help us to see things, people that we need to call, people that we need to pray for. He's going to give you opportunities to witness, to share with people. And as he opens those doors, redeem the time. There are many believers that they spend their time living for pleasure, for comfort, and for leisure. Instead of living for eternity, how can I make a difference in the lives of other people? When you get up and you pray in the morning, hopefully you're praying in the morning, okay? But when you pray, does your prayer list look like a Christmas list? How many have your Christmas list ready? I want this for Christmas. You know what you want? Anyone? There's a few of you. Yeah, you say, I know what I want. You know, some of us, we treat God like Santa Claus. God, I want this, I want that. I want this, I want that. And instead of saying, God, what do you want today? How do you want me to redeem the time to look out for opportunities to impact other people? He goes on to say in verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Many times people, they get drunk because they're trying to escape the problems of life. They want to numb the pain. They don't want to think about it. Or they like a high. It makes me feel good for a moment. That's the only way. But friends, you'll come crashing down. Drunkenness is a sin. Proverbs says in Proverbs 23:29, who has woe or problems? Who has sorrows? Who has contentions, arguments? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? It's those people who linger at the wine, who drink it. They get drunk. And it says, look out, because wine is a viper. If I had a basket up here with rattlesnakes in it, how many of you would come up and pick up that rattlesnake and say, oh, here it is? Now, here's the thing. Drinking is not a sin. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but do you realize it's a viper? That's what the Bible says. We need to be very careful with alcohol, because I know many believers, either in their past life, they picked up alcohol, and it's still a vice that they have to look out today, because that snake wants to get them. They want to resort back to that. Don't be drunk on wine, but be filled or drunk on the Spirit. When someone's drunk, it influences their speech, doesn't it? It influences their behavior, their walk. And the more they're under the influence, the more they're affected by it. God wants us to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit so much that we have a new walk, a new behavior that walks in love, that walks in light, that walks in wisdom. We're looking at how to redeem the time. And he says, be filled. That word, it means keep on being filled. All throughout the day, I need to be walking in the Spirit, renewing my mind. Holy Spirit, keep filling me so I can see opportunities. Give me power, because there are people who are addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs. They're lost. They're in darkness. They're alienated. They don't have hope. They're in bondage, not in freedom. They don't have those great things we learned about in week one, how we have an inheritance. We've been adopted. We've got a promise of going to heaven. We have new life in Christ. Walk in wisdom. Be an active agent for God. And replace that old way of life with the superior new life. Next week, we've got guest speaker from the youth convention. But next time, we're going to talk about new relationships. That's part of the new life too. Because you see, when you have a new life, it should impact your relationships. And Paul, when you read in the last part of chapter 5, he's going to talk about marriage. And then he's going to get into parenting. And really, that's one of the biggest areas that our new life needs to impact us, is in the home. And this morning, I want to encourage you. What is God speaking to you about maybe some old areas of your life that need to be replaced with the new life? What has God pricked your heart with today? Let's pray. Oh, precious Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for the new life that you have opened up to us. The junk of our past is gone. We are cleansed, we're redeemed. But Jesus, help us to walk in newness, because the devil keeps trying to bring back the oldness. Help us to walk in freedom, in love, in light, in fulfillment, in wisdom. Speak to us today, oh God. What things did you mark this morning? Did the Holy Spirit show you things in your life that need to be replaced? Maybe it's anger, bitterness, lying, dishonesty. Maybe the Holy Spirit showed you that you haven't been walking in love. You've been looking out for your own interests. You're not living a life to please God. Maybe some of you, you're a follower of Jesus, but you know there's been some darkness in your life and you haven't exposed it. You've been kind of trying to straddle the fence, have one foot in the kingdom and one foot out of the kingdom. But God's speaking to you and encouraging you to live a life of holiness, to confess your sin to Him. Maybe some of us, God's saying, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to seek more of the Spirit of God so you can influence others. You need to be under His influence. If God is speaking to you this morning about walking in newness in any way, would you just raise your hand? Say, I want to walk in greater newness of life, Craig. I want greater newness. I want greater influence, greater power, greater freedom, greater purity. I don't want to get drunk anymore. I don't want to swear anymore. I see hands up all over the place. I want you to stand with me this morning, and I want you to raise your hands to God. Jesus, we read today how you were an offering to God, a sweet-smelling sacrifice. So right now, we offer ourselves up to you. We want to die to ourselves. That's the sacrifice we make. We want the new life in Christ. We want to put away the old man. God, help us to walk in the newness of our mind, the newness of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, God, for getting caught up in the ways of the past. Help us to see what is right. Help us to learn from your Spirit. Help us, Father God, to redeem the time, to make the most of the opportunity, because these days are evil and wicked, and there are people who are lost all around us. You've given us, your church, your body, a mission to help all people find and follow Jesus. And we can't do that if we're walking in darkness. So forgive us, God, and fill us with your power and your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.